Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we've interviewed our next guest many times as well, and it's really good to have her back, Chief Ann Kirkpatrick, the superintendent of the NOPD. Chief, 6 months down in 2026, how are you feeling?
Oh, good morning. Thank you, Sheriff. No, I'm feeling great. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, that 6 month mark, you've been around a long time like I've been around. You're always kind of leery of those first 2 to 3 weeks that kids are out of school and you're wondering, man, is this going to go crazy this year or not? And it seems like it was a very calm couple of weeks in June.
Well, we had a very good, successful June and a start of the summer. You were so right, though. You know, last year we were doing very well at about, you know, the end of May and summer months. Always there's an uptick in violence. And so we're glad to have had a good June, but we still have a lot of summer left. We still have a lot of year left.
And a lot of heat.
That's it. So, you know, heat has a role, and it does play in a sense of agitating people, and that increases risks of violence.
Yeah. Chief, again, it's encouraging when you see this month over month reduction. You know, the longer these trends play out, everyone in law enforcement feels much better about it. And it seems that y'all are still on that track.
Yes, we are. You know, the national average, everybody knows that crime has gone down, let's say, for murders nationally. They're down about 18%, but we're down 25%. And so we keep beating the national trend by almost 50% year over year. We've been doing very, very well.
Is there anything, I mean, I know that y'all have been a lot more proactive out on the streets, and I know that there's been a concerted effort, like a lot of other agencies, of collection of doorbell cameras, security cameras in residences, commercial buildings. I read a lot of, the dailies that y'all put out. I mean, y'all are making arrests in a really quick fashion, which obviously helps in a huge way, right?
Well, it does, but you are always correct, Sheriff. I love the fact of your seasonness points to understanding. It's not just one factor. So we use technology. We leverage that with partnerships. We build on top of that an actual intentional strategy. It's many legs to the stool, not just one leg. And so we've done a very good job of marrying it all together and making it work. So it's kind of like the orchestra analogy I use often. We got all the players playing right, but they also are very talented players. I'm just the conductor.
Yeah. While we're on the talking about technology, I interviewed Greg Rusevich the other day. The business community seems to be 100% behind assisting and facilitating and helping finance the deploying of first responder drones in the French Quarter. It seems as though we're getting really close to that happening. Can you give us an update there?
Yes, the Business Council and the business community really has been fantastic. They have supported the finances as well as understanding the mission of what drones as first responders can do for our community. So we're going to begin with the French Quarter, and we'll have drones designated just to the downtown area and the French Quarter. But we do plan to expand, and our next geographic area as we phase in drones will be the 7th district. The geography out there is massive, and so we think a drone approach particularly there will be quite helpful. So that would be our next area we would go to.
Landmass wise, just for the benefit of the listening audience, the 7th district is by far the largest, right?
by far. And it's almost like a parish, more of a rural parish. It has urban pockets, but then you have some very large areas that are not just residential. So getting to those areas can be time consuming getting there. When there is a need and a call for help, we can get a drone over to you faster than we can get a car over to you.
Absolutely. And when you get out to the far reaches, which is out there by Lake Pontchartrain, and something happens, the drone, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think people should be very excited once that can happen, the deployment of a drone out in the 7th District, because I think it will yield just incredibly positive results.
Yes, exactly. So drones can get there truly in fractions of a time versus a police car. So that's why they leverage safety for our community.
And as far as you know, the administration and others are on board with deploying this technology?
Sure. I think that, we haven't dismissed at all the voices of dissent. And I think that there are times that people, privacy matters. It matters to me. I've always said that, I fall in that privacy category, too. I think the concern is proving to those who have concerns or dissent, voices of dissent, is proving that we will be transparent. We will have a public-facing system where people can log in and see where a drone has flown. We're going to make that known to the community. People just want to be sure that their constitutional rights of privacy are not violated. And that's where, we can do that by policy and practice. And I think once they see the value, they will be more comfortable.
And because of the nature of the video that's taken, the necessity for retention of that video in this technological sphere is not nearly as important as other technologies, right? Just because of the nature of what it captures.
That's correct. And that you were 100% correct. So it's really, cameras matter to us. All of those things are for public safety. And that's why technology matters, just like the internet. The internet has way more value, but is there a dark web? Yes, there is. And so but the value far exceeds the negatives that can come with technology.
Yeah, I have trouble with the overt side of the internet, much less the covert side of the
You and me. You and me. I'm not sure I would know how to get there. But
there's no risk for me. I can promise you. If I get there, it's completely by accident.
You and I, sure.
That's what's...
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Certain. Chief, where do we, state of the state, everyone's always concerned about your staffing numbers. I know that y'all have had some recent successes with recruitment. Talk to us about that.
Oh, we have now a new and positive story to share. We have now, for about 4 months, we again developed strategies. We understood who our market is and how to market to people, and we have, in general terms, doubled our applications, and that was the key. You got to have the number of applicants to be able to get the best out of the best. And so we are very pleased with that, and we are starting to see results from our efforts. And so good news story there.
Yeah, because the fallout in this type of business is probably greater than in most, right?
Sure. There is one thing about technology is never going to completely replace the need for police officers. And so we still have to have the staffing. You still have to have a patrol car to get to where the drone tells you is a situation. The drone right. and technology leverages, it does not replace. And so right. we will always have that need for human beings being police officers.
Well, there's always job security there because yes. boots on the ground matter and will
yes,
always matter.
It does matter.
Right? Unless and until they deploy AI that can actually reason, because anything short of that, you're going to need human capital for certain.
Right, right. Exactly.
On the line of staffing, I know that there have been a number, we talked about this last time, a number of internal investigations. The OIG yes. just issues a report about someone, again, with payroll fraud or alleged payroll fraud. I know you guys were in the process of deploying biometrics for payroll purposes. Can you give us an update on that issue?
Yeah, so some of these investigations that you're going to see presently do stem from investigations that were opened quite a long time ago. They just kind of come to the public sphere. They can be even well over a year old in the investigations. And so what you see in the news today has probably been, not probably, has been active investigations we were aware of from several months ago to years ago. So our safeguards, our strategies and implementations of tightening down our systems definitely are in play. So, but those systems were not in play when these unfortunate investigations started to open, if that makes sense. So what right. you see today in the news, we were very aware of a long time ago. It's just now coming to public attention.
Is there anything, I mean, you've been around a long time, the same here, and I hate to keep saying that, but, yeah. you know, you've seen a lot of things over the years. I've seen a lot of things over the years. Is there anything that sticks out amongst any of these investigations that you find is odd, or is it kind of like, you know, a head scratcher for you?
Not really. Another way of saying we're seasoned is that we're old, Sheriff. That's the other way of saying it. But, you know, human nature is human nature. And so systems matter in trying to have right policies, right practices. But because of the nature of who we are as people, you're always going to have someone who wants to challenge, who'll take advantage, who'll it's the pattern of human nature. And so there are people who are good people who make good cops, and yet they make bad decisions that at times forfeit the privilege of being a police officer. And so it doesn't mean they're not good. It means that they made some extremely poor decisions, and that's a part of our human nature.
And the disastrous side of the equation for managers like yourself and leaders like yourself is that we're really in the credibility business.
You
know, and I used to remind officers all the time, this is a business that's all about credibility. If you compromise it, you minimize your value, your worth to the agency, and more likely than not, you won't be around long.
Well, that is why some in my world, I am a person who I'm hard on the discipline side. I treat small as small. I treat big as big. And I do think that there are times that people forfeit and should forfeit being given the power and authority over other people's lives. And there is misconduct in which your legitimacy impacts the legitimacy of this department, and you have to be removed. And so I don't compromise on that. If civil service boards or courts restore people to our agency, I find that troubling because once a police department or police chief board of police officers say you should be removed, they should be removed and should not be reinstated.
You know, it's interesting. I always wonder sometimes whether or not these independent groups that have these positions of authority recognize it's not only internally, but externally that you have no control over. So, for example, the veracity of an officer taking the stand. And, you know, that his character or her character is going to be attacked. It could be that evidence would not be allowed in because of their history. I've always been curious if they ever really assess these things because, again, you minimize the value of that human capital and the worth of that individual to the overall agency. And you get a dozen or two dozen of those, and, you're really in a staffing dilemma. Certainly, no one is prohibiting you from putting them out there, but it may come back to haunt you.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's like if you cut cancer out of the body and then it comes back, and it metastasizes. So it creates more harm to the organization when people are restored over maybe a technicality, but maybe the arbitrator will say, I agree with the underlying misconduct is worthy of termination, but because you violated a technical timeline or whatever it is, you're restored. And I'm not sure that I am full. I certainly believe in due process. I believe in appeals, and that's the balance, check and balance. But there are some behaviors that are so egregious. As I said, you should forfeit the position of being over the lives of other people. You're making decisions over the lives of others. And that's a very high responsibility.
No doubt, for sure. And I can tell that you take it very seriously. Chief, we enter the celebration of 250 years of this country, a big celebration going to be down in the French Quarter. A lot of people headed that way. A lot of crazy things going on in the world today. I'm sure y'all are meeting with federal, state, and other local officials. I guess the men and women are ready. Hopefully they're able to stay cool.
Yeah. Well, we have 460 officers out there this weekend. That's almost half of our department staffing. And so we want people to be mindful that we need them to be our partners. And I'm not being trite by that, but we have to have the eyes and ears of our community. We got to be in this together. You see something that makes you uncomfortable, please report it to our officers. We literally, at our roll calls, before the officers go out on the street, the executive teams, the chiefs, the captains, we tell these officers, if someone approaches you and they just say they feel that there's something suspicious, do not blow them off. And they don't. We do not get reports from the community saying, hey, officer, so-and-so blew me off. Our officers take it seriously, and we do need your partnership. So if you keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, and report it to us. See something, say something, so we can do something. And we just need everybody to be a part of this.
And not to sound sexist, but if it's a female, definitely take it for seriously, because I've always found that female intuition is rarely wrong.
Yeah, I mean, we can't, we wish people wouldn't take ice chests down to the river for the celebration and the fireworks. We know people are going to do that, but let's not be unmindful about what happened to us on New Year's Eve with ice chests. So things like that. So folks, please, if you're listening, don't do that. If you could this year, just don't do those kind of things with backpacks and stuff that would draw attention to you unnecessarily. But we're ready. We've got good plans in place. And my whole thing is y'all just have a good time, but be a partner with us.
And it's perfectly okay to offer an officer a bottle of water.
You bet. Now, they're going to be out there, too. They're hot. They're going to be tired. They wear heavy vests and equipment. You work with them. They're fabulous, and they are They are the best of the best in this country. And so let's all work together. And we're going to have a great 250-year anniversary. I'm proud to be an American, and so I'm delighted for this weekend.
And I stand there right with you, Chief. Thank you so much for joining us. We know you're busy. Best of luck this weekend. Have a great 4th of July weekend.
Appreciate you. Bye, Sheriff.
Thank you. That's Chief Ann Kirkpatrick, Superintendent of the NOPD. We will be right back, folks. When we return, we'll visit with Andrew Arthur, Resident Fellow in Law and Policy Center for Immigration Studies. U.S. Supreme Court has delivered a landmark ruling on President Trump's effort to end birthright citizenship by executive order. What does the decision actually mean? And what did the justices decide? And where does the immigration policy go from here? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.